Blog Talk Radio.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical.
The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Come on, go, go, go. Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You have any more popcorn?
Well, there you go. How do you like that? I mean, you want to be radical, join the CFL fan group. This is one, and of course, this is the Candid Frank Live Show coming to you from the bowels of Mississauga through the airwaves of Los Angeles, California. Oh, well, you know what? It's a really nice night. We had a chance to go for a drive in the uppermost reaches of the greater metro area. And let me tell you, it was a winter wonderland up there in the Yarra Hills. It was pretty interesting, to say the least. So today we can talk about anything you like. The rear end review, no, the year end review. Well, that would be an interesting show on its own. The rear end review. That's right. Well, those weren't rear end. Those were frontal. Never mind. Having said that, it should be a very interesting night, considering we're now at the end of December, which also means we are at the end of the year. And being the end of the year, I guess we could talk about a lot of things about the CFL. And in particular, Bill Howe doesn't usually request an audience with the program. And he did today, so I gave him a call, and we might as well let Bill Howe have the first word. Bill, welcome.
Evening, Frank. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. Doing well. How's Liam doing?
Oh, Liam's exhausted. His transatlantic travel and his mother's travel agendas is challenging, to say the least.
But he is going to see Man U, right?
Oh my gosh! I'm glad he's not here for you to say that. Man City. You know, there's two teams in that thing.
Hang on a second.
Uh-oh.
He's not going to see Man U.
Oh, don't even say that. Man,
I mean,
City.
City? He's going to see City, not Man U?
Oh,
really?
Okay.
Are you really going to do that to me?
I may have to hang this up. I may have to hang up here.
I was pulling your leg. Never mind. My Italian friends call because, you know, there's Roma and never mind. Anyway,
right.
You know, a lot of big cities have two teams, and it's, you know, in Toronto, it would be awesome if they had a second NHL team. People don't understand what they miss with with having a second team in the big city. And Toronto is the big city. I mean, you know, it makes it interesting, doesn't it? Because you can really have some real, it's like the Hamilton-Toronto rivalry. But
right.
It's even worse because you all live in the same town.
Well, I made it pretty clear that when I met Barb, first of all, that she had to root double blue, right? And she made
and
it
did
pretty
that work
clear
for you?
That, well, she made it clear she was a City fan. I mean, if she was a United fan, I don't think this would have worked.
Ah. It's
blue through.
Hey,
the
look.
Blue.
And you know, and double blue, too.
Absolutely.
There you go. Well, my wife took care of me. She got me the boat logo. She got me the older version of the boat logo, but still the boat logo. yeah, it's an interesting experience going. Was it the first time for Liam flying over the ocean?
Oh, gosh, no. No, we went in 08. Well, this was when I took his older sister and Liam and Ellie and Barb, and we went to Italy, and then to Croatia. And he's been overseas ever since he was born.
Okay,
and we were actually landing in Venice, and I said to Liam, I turned to him and I said, Liam, you're 9 years old, you are one lucky son of a gun. Look at that view down there. And he looked at me without, with you know, no, you know, he didn't bat an eye, and he said, But, Dad, I've never been to China.
Oh, God. Boy, are you looking for trouble, buddy. No, you know, I mean, he hasn't been homeschooled. He's been airline schooled.
Absolutely. Well, you know, when we went, we were in Africa building schools last summer. I think I told you that with the Pinball Clements Foundation.
No, you didn't. No, this is the first time you're telling me this. No.
Yeah, so we raised money for a couple schools a few years ago, and then we were invited to go and actually work on the schools that we raised money for. So Barb and I took Liam and his Ellie and his older sister Jessie to Africa, and so he always wanted to go on an Emirates Airbus A380, you know, the double-decker.
Oh, no, the hotel that flies.
Well, that's right. And the previous year, Barb and I had spent our winter holiday in Dubai and Oman, and we made the mistake of flying business class and telling him. So when we said we were taking the whole family and we told him we were flying economy, he burst into tears, broke his
heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that too, except, you know, my situation is I've been in an airplane a few times. And like Liam, I was there when I was a youngster. I was there in grade 3. Yeah, that makes me about 8.
Right.
The first time I went in an airplane, we went to the old country. I never knew why they called it the old country until I got there. Mom,
okay.
That building's pretty old. And yeah, it is the old country. Sometimes, you know, you're amazed by the simplicity of the language and the description that the language, you know, yields, you know.
Right.
But it was very true. It's the old country. And I'm sure Liam learned that very quickly when he went, and as you probably experience over and over again, it is very old over there. And
Right. There's
a lot of history. There's a lot of history.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's neat because when you come back here, and you
Right. Look
at some of the buildings that are turn-of-the-century buildings, even here in Toronto, Metro Toronto, yeah, anywhere. You go to Regina, you go to Ottawa,
Right.
you go to, you know, you could see those buildings. All of a sudden, you can understand and say, wow, we have a building like that. But, you know, they're all of them are like that.
Well, a heritage home here is about 35 years old. You know, they
slap
a heritage
you
sign on
you exaggerate.
It.
Come on, we have older buildings.
My brother-in-law, who's from Liverpool, if you can imagine, it took me golfing into one of the newest golf courses in Manchester, 110 years old.
Yeah, it's a baby.
I want to take you to the new golf course in town.
There you go.
So, I mean, it's such a relative thing, right?
Yeah, and you know what? You were married before you went there.
Right.
Yeah, good thing, because can you imagine if you asked if you wanted to go out with a new girl out in town?
A real antiquity.
And she has her own teeth.
That's a
she bought
thing.
Them about 2 months ago,
that's,
yeah.
That's terrible. Who's that in the background?
Okay, we've got with us...
I'm not saying.
Okay, so we've got Christopher and we've got Mike. I haven't got a message from John, so I'll just automatically call him, and if he answers, he answers. Okay. All right, first of all, hey, Mike... And first Mike, and then Christopher. Have you guys ever been on a transatlantic flight?
Never.
How about you, Christopher?
Several times.
Oh, okay. Tell us a little bit about that experience. Share.
Or flying over there?
Where did you go? Why did you go?
It was with a company called Ward Air. Was my first trip, and they knew how to treat you properly. We got to sit up in the top deck of a brand spanking new 747 when they first came out, and we flew up over the pole and landed in Gatwick in London. And I spent the next 2 months traveling around England, Scotland, Wales, Belgium, Holland, Luxembourg, France, Spain, Portugal, Morocco. Kind of got around.
All right, so... I don't even know what to say to that. I've been silent. Hang on a second. I forgot to put the silencer on. The phone ringing.
Bruce!
So we're all going to say hi to John. I like his answering machine.
Hello. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hello.
John, how you doing?
This is Frank. and Christopher and Bill and Mike wondering where
what
you
up,
are.
John. Yeah, where you at, buddy?
It wasn't 7 right. o'clock start. He might be in bed.
No, oh, stop. You're probably right, actually, now that you mention it. I guess I'll hang up on his answering machine. Yeah, so at least I could say I gave it a try. Now, the other guy that wanted me to call was Robbie. Now,
Robbie.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, I wanted to...
Do you really think we should do this?
I wanted to warn people that Robbie had a few before. He warned us. He said, I'm going to have a few, Frank, but call me. He'd had four at what time, Christopher? About
it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, my time. So, you know, seven now.
Well,
that's 8 hours ago.
Again.
He was.
That was maybe breakfast
then.
Time.
Yeah, he was having beer for breakfast.
Okay.
But we'll see if he answers. Rob is on holidays? Yeah, I guess Rob's on holidays. Okay, so let's see if it's him. Let's see if it's him. Robbie?
Hey, what's up, dude?
How many beers have you had?
About two or three.
What'd you do? Throw up two of them? You had four earlier.
Well, I had four earlier, and then I had about three or four more, and then just decided, I said, you know what? I said, I got to be home by 10 o'clock. My buddy Frank's going to be on Facebook, on the radio and everything. I said, you know, I got to be on the show. I got to be supporting my Red Blacks, you know?
Okay, good. So the way it works is you had four at four. You had two more later. So you did a new kind of math. You had four, then you subtracted two, you ended up with two.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure I had the math straight.
Actually, we'll just do this quick right here. About a 24 earlier.
Uh-oh, here we go.
I drank four here at home.
Okay.
I brought 10 with me, and I can't even find the freaking flipping case. And I got, let me see here. I got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I got 10 left here. So you figure I drank four here. I brought 11 with me, and
okay.
I had 10 here.
That math doesn't work.
Yeah, well, did you get a case of 28?
24.
No, that's 24.
Okay,
yeah.
He's doing rider math when the fans count their great cup.
Rider math.
Oh, geez. Here we go. Okay, we're off. We're off and we're started. Okay. No good show starts without a knock on the rider.
Christopher.
Okay.
Christopher.
There's a shot
come on now. Christopher, you already eliminated one of our favorite co-hosts on this
come on. Let's not go there.
No, I was just joking.
Let's not go there.
You know what? No. I talked to Matt Say earlier there, and he said, nobody worry. Nobody did anything wrong to him. He just wanted to get away, to be on his own, to be at his own peace with the Lord.
Okay. We'll leave it there. I think it's because, personally, I don't think it was Christopher yelling at him. I think it was Christopher calling a fiance that got him going.
Beyonce?
Beyonce.
You called him Beyonce?
I had several times.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Okay. Now, hold on a second.
I will tell y'all, guys, Chris does. Have a way with words. I would say you that much.
Okay.
If you think I play asking about all the bomb threats you get from the Ryder fans.
There you go. Well, you know, there's no love lost between the Ryder fans and Christopher Jones.
See,
no.
Absolutely not.
But see,
wouldn't want it any other way.
There you go.
You're right. There you go.
Okay.
Can we inject
some common sense into this program and let Bill speak?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
How's that for a segue?
What's up, Bill?
How you doing, Mike?
What up, Bill? What up, Billy boy?
Man, I'm chilling, man. On my way to I'm on my way driving across Wyoming right now.
Are you working this week?
Yeah, I'm working, man. I'm working right now.
Man, I don't know how you're driving through this storm. God bless you.
No shit, eh?
Right, actually, right now, the weather's pretty good. It just looked cold, but roads clear, no snow, you know. It was just
looking
for
a straw.
Well, we're, Bill, if you haven't noticed, Mike's connection to reality and common sense as far as keeping his head straight, because being a truck driver, he spends a lot of time alone, and we're kind of like his sister wives.
Okay.
Yeah, for real, man. But I'm going to tell you, without the Candid Frank Show, man, my life would be very boring out here on the road, and I tell you that much.
Wow. Well, I've got an unbelievable
amount of... Well, I try to keep you company, Mike.
Oh, yeah, you did. You do keep me company, Chris. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we chops it up a lot at nighttime when I'm riding. So, yeah, keeps me up, man.
He drives all night. At 1 o'clock in the morning, he's back east. It's like 4 o'clock, and we're chatting on Facebook.
Wow.
Right.
Okay, Billy. Billy's an Argo fan. This Dontrell Inman thing, were you surprised? If I
no,
can make
I,
it.
I,
Bill.
No, I think it's the nature of the beast, right? I think they let him kind of look around in the NFL a little bit, but you know I'm not even sure he was going to start in the playoff game this year. We had like 3 or 4 or 5 different options to go with, and we've got the luxury to have 5 guys that can play that position. No doubt about it, he would be a starter, and they'd sign him if they could. But I think they're doing right by him right now, and letting him. Look around for some opportunities. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back in training camp this year or maybe early in the season.
Is it possible Childs kind of took the key, the number one position?
Well, he certainly earned it this year.
He did play well, didn't he?
Earned it this year very, very well.
Now, we didn't get a chance to talk to you about the Grey Cup and the playoffs. You had the good fortune of going to the game. First of all, how cold was it? It was probably colder during the week waiting for the game to happen than game time, wasn't it?
Well, it was cold. It was cold on Thursday. I mean, I'd heard about Western cold, but, you know, I just kind of said, yeah, cold, right?
Wow.
But I think it was minus 39 on Thursday.
There you go.
And Mike, minus 39 in Celsius is about minus 39 in Fahrenheit. That's where they cross over. So it was cold. It was cold. But it warmed up for game time.
Yeah, after 39 below, zero starts to really feel warm.
Well, and my cousin, who spent 35 years in the RCMP out in Saskatchewan, he told me, he said, if it gets to minus 10, you'll see people out in short sleeves and shorts. And we laughed, and we said, well, you know, that's kind of what you say, right, when you live out west. But sure
Absolutely.
Enough, Liam and my cousin took the dogs out for a walk on Saturday morning. It was minus 10, and they saw a Rider fan with short sleeves and shorts on out on the street. We couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
It's not that cold.
Minus 10.
Minus 20 on the prairies is where it starts to get cold. Okay.
Wow.
I spent a year or two out there, and at minus 20, I could walk around outside with a T-shirt on. Once it gets past that, it's really cold. Minus 5 in BC is freaking cold because of the level of the humidity, but it's so dry in Saskatchewan that you don't notice the cold doesn't go right through to the bone. It's just a surface cold.
It was snowing at minus 39. I couldn't believe it. They always said, you know, it got so cold, it can't snow, but it was snowing too. I couldn't believe it. So it was humid.
It was
and
funny
because
I talked to a lady from TELUS the other day. And I said, whereabouts are you? You know, she's like, oh, I'm in Calgary. And I'm like, oh, really now? I'm like, must be pretty cold out there, eh? She's like, oh, not really. It's like plus 4. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Plus 4? I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like,
I would
love
to have
Chinooks,
right?
That kind of weather.
The Chinooks,
like,
you can go from minus 20 to plus 10 in a heartbeat.
Yeah, in 12 hours.
Yeah, and
I'm like, I would love to have that weather in the middle of winter.
That actually
have a plus 4.
That actually happened in New York the other day. It was 70 degrees, and it went down to 40.
Wow.
I'm sitting at 10 degrees right now.
Yeah.
I think we're sitting at
Well, I thought you'd be golfing today, Christopher.
Oh, I had to work.
Hitting the old golf ranges.
All right, so so the Grey Cup, it was warmer than it was on Thursday on Sunday. And tell us a little bit, what were the highlights in your mind of the Grey Cup in Regina?
Well, it was unbelievable. I'd never seen 99.9% of a stadium full of one team.
Yeah.
It literally was. There were a few Ticat fans,
yep.
and they were just speckled around the stadium. I don't know whether or not they weren't available for people to buy or what, but we've been to other Grey Cups, and they're, you know, usually a good contingent of fans from across the country at the game.
Yep.
But, you know, maybe like my wife said, that you know, you two are welcome to go out there by yourselves. I'll stay home.
You know, maybe, she had the right idea,
Regina,
apparently.
Maybe Regina early December is not, you know, the travel destination of most normal people.
No, I doubt. You know what? I really doubt it is. But so the game, we know what happened at the game. You've expressed the fact that we pretty much understood from watching the game, the minuscule amount of Hamilton fans sprinkled in very, 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 very liberally within the, you know, the green and white.
Right.
What about leading up to the game? And did you notice, you know, the stars that were there? You know. Both Martin Short and Tom Hanks?
No, we saw them on the screen. I think, yeah, we probably just like you saw them on TV, we mm-hmm. saw them briefly on there, but I don't think they were outdoors very long.
What were the parties like? Did you guys go to any of the events that took place?
The problem with the parties are it's 19 and over.
Yeah.
And my Liam is 12, right? So.
I thought he was 19.
No, he had ID, but they didn't buy it.
he was carded.
He had a beard with fake ID, but they said, you know, no, that's not you.
You know, my goodness, Mike keeps coming in and bouncing out. I just turned.
He's got really bad signal. He's going down a 6 mile hill.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's all good now. He'll get back to us. All right, so, yeah. You know, Inman gone. As an Argo fan, are you pleased? Or give me your comments on the players they lost.
Well, I'm still a little shocked that they lost Pottinger. I mean, I don't understand how they couldn't protect him. And I...
Red Blacks!
Yeah, just, you know, it was, Appel was a big loss.
I'll throw that there.
Yeah. Well, it was a bit. I think Pottinger was a big surprise, but you know, maybe they've got more plans up their sleeves. And I think there's going to be some trading. I think there's going to be some moves that there may be a lot going on behind the scenes that we don't see right now.
Don't you think also that? These are good veterans. Him and Joe Appel are Canadians. They're good Canadian players. They're guys with a history now, having won the Grey Cup, and you know, Pottinger. They're getting a little bit older, and the Argos are looking to get younger, while a young team like the Red Blacks needs some experience, and they couldn't resist picking those guys.
Right.
I couldn't.
Well, the other thing was Pottinger had a knee injury last year. I think it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he tore something up in his knee, but he came back and played. But he didn't start this year, so I'm wondering whether or not he's lost some speed.
There you go. And then Joe Appel just had a shoulder operation,
right,
which may or may not, you know, be a good thing for him. So, you know, what are you going to do? The Argos took a chance, and now Ottawa has taken that chance, if you will, with both those players, right, where health might be an issue. But I happen to think that they picked them up more than for what they can do on the field.
Right.
You know, I think they can do a lot for the organization. They have plenty to give the organization. What they have, the organization needs, in my opinion. And, you know, we're going to be, you know, we've lost two great players that are very community conscious and very effortless. You know, they are never tired to take part in events that support the community in Toronto. And Ottawa's going to be very lucky because they're going to have two guys that are going to be great in the community. And, for a new team, that's not bad. That's pretty good.
Right.
These guys know what to do and know how to do it. And, I've been involved for so long, they'll be a good positive in Ottawa. And Canadian football is all – the Canadian Football League in particular is all about players getting out in the community and, helping out in some capacity or another. And also bringing football, from the team to the community. So, yeah, they're very lucky to have those guys. I'm going to miss them drastically, terribly. Bill, that we spent a lot of time with those two guys in particular.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
So it seems kind of ironic that the both of them would go at the same time. But it is what it is, and I think they're in for a good experience. There's nothing better than being the first player on a new team. They'll always be that first team, and that's got to be a wonderful feeling.
Well, we benefited, I think, from the draft in 2006, right, when we got three veterans.
Yep.
So part of growing this part of growing the league is going to be a bit of a pain for each and every team to, but I think that's the price we have to pay to have a bigger, stronger league, more diverse league.
Yeah, and I guess moving on, anybody, first you, Bill, and this time we'll get everybody in. Anybody have any, Bill, thoughts on the draft, the Red Black draft, and who they picked up? Bill, you get your first crack at talking about this. The other guys will get a chance to adjust their thinking or their conversation when it comes to the Red Black draft and how the Red Blacks did. They signed three more players. They got a long way to go to 93 players that'll probably be showing up in training camp, but they've made a lot of headway.
Well, I think Kevin Glenn is a huge pick for them. At the Grey Cup, I had a chance to talk to Kevin. He was there, and we had a good talk. And I don't know if you realize that Kevin's out of Detroit.
Yes, he is.
Yes, sir.
And he owns a number of Tim Hortons in town there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing very, very well financially. That's a wonderful franchise to own just across the border, and he benefits from all the advertising. And so he's a pretty fine young man. He's an entrepreneur. He's, and he plays damn good football. And so I think that they're going to – and he'll be a great mentor for the young quarterbacks in Ottawa. I don't think they could have done much better than that.
To be honest with you, I don't think he'll disappear even after retirement. Because there's the beauty of that team being new, there are so many job positions available that that we don't understand or even know that I even don't know that are open there to these players, because football is not just about the players that are on the field. It takes a lot of people behind the players to make the team. There's a lot. We talked last show about the coaches, how many coaches there are. We don't hear about the quarterback coach that much. We don't hear about the secondary coach that much. We hear a lot about the head coach and the defensive and offensive coordinators. And now, because of our guy that was specialty teams becoming a head coach in Winnipeg, we now understand a little more about a position called special teams. There's a lot of – when you go to the practices, and for anybody out there that lives near a team and gets the opportunity to go see a practice, I dare say that when you go to the practice, you would be surprised how many are players and how many aren't players. It's almost one for one, especially when they get down to the 43 guys. You see 43 guys practicing, but there's another 40 or so people, support team, working their way up to the coach and GM and such. So, football's a very important employee-rich, business, if I can use that term.
Yeah.
The Rider practices, they get like 2,000 people come out to watch the practices. It's scary.
Wow. Well, actually, that's they could sell tickets then.
So I've been told, and I don't want to get jumped down my throat by some Rider fan saying, no, it's not, or we get more, or anything else. Okay?
Well, they'll probably tell you there's 25.
On. I've never been there. I'm sure I'm going to get slapped for it, but you know what the hell. That's
right. They are the best franchise in Canada for the Canadian Football League. No one's going to deny that. And you know what? It's nice that they are. It's nice that they are. And I'm happy for them. But, you know, that's what makes beating them so wonderful. So if you're not the Saskatchewan Roughriders, you get a good kick out of beating them, because it's like when the Leafs go into Winnipeg. Nothing sweeter than beating the Leafs. You know, it's all the same. That's what sports is all about, right? Everybody wants to beat the big boy. Whether they're good or not, it's not the point. It's the impression you think they have of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, have you had any additional thoughts, Mike, about the draft? Any additional thoughts that, you know, second thoughts?
No, really, no, not really. Bill actually summed it up for the same thing I was about to say about Kevin Glenn. You know, I'm a big Kevin Glenn supporter, huge fan, you know, from the same city, Detroit. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. From the same city. And I support Kevin Glenn ever since he's been in the league, man. And like Bill said, you know, Ottawa couldn't do no bad, man, picking up Kevin Glenn. That was the best thing they could have ever did. Commit to the young quarterbacks. And like you said, Frank, after retirement, I don't see him going anywhere. I think he might probably be like the offensive coordinator or the quarterback coach. It might be a head coach one day. I mean, I see him being in the league far after retirement. He's that type of guy to put a stamp, put the face on the league. One of the guys that can put his face on the league.
Yeah, thank you for agreeing with me, but that was a pretty easy slam dunk. Anybody who has that kind of, you know, knowledge isn't going to disappear that quickly.
No, sir. Mm-mm. No.
Now,
may I add one thing?
Go.
This is not the subject, but Frank, we have former Argo and former Bomber Keith Stokes going to call in and talk CFL with us.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Do we know what number he's using? You don't have to tell me. Just, do we know?
I don't know yet. He just inboxed me and said he wanted to he loved to come on the show.
Perfect. Now, I'm starting to run into people who talking about that subject. It's amazing. I'm running into people who, like this kid in Mexico who's a football player, and he's looking for a place to play. It's amazing. And he's really interested in playing in the CFL as well. He wants to play anywhere. It is amazing how many different places CFL players come from. The obvious, of course, is the CIS, you know, college football here in Canada. And and you know what? I think he's on the phone right now. I'm pretty sure he just got in right now. Am I right?
You are right.
There you go. And give us your name again.
Steve Stokes.
Oh, okay. Oh, he wasn't kidding. You were an Argo.
Yes, I was.
Wow. An ex-Argo. How far back do you go?
Let's say they're in 2008 and 2009.
Oh, well. You're not that old.
No.
You're almost still an Argo.
Almost close enough.
So I understand from Mike that are you the fellow that's an owner of an indoor team?
No, I don't own a team. I played on the team indoor and coach indoor.
Okay. Oh, okay, you coach indoor. Mike's always looking to inject some indoor conversation on the program. And Mr. Stokes, I respect your background, and I was just, it's funny, you called at a perfect time, because I was just mentioning, there are a lot of places where CFL players come from, and one of them is indoor football, and if I can, in your own words, explain to us why you think playing indoor football in particular is such an asset to someone playing in the Canadian Football League.
Well, one, I mean, offensively, far as receiver-wise, you learn how to do the waggle. In playing outdoor ball, you don't usually use the waggle. And some guys have a hard time adjusting to it. And indoor ball is one of the places where you do that at.
Explain to us, I think I understand what the waggle is, but let's pretend none of us in the room understand what the waggle is, and explain to us the waggle.
It's the motion run that the receivers have, as far as the offensive player and a defensive player, defensive back, learning to cover a guy running in motion, and the guy learning to run routes when you're running in motion instead of staying still, which, you know, in the States, everyone is used to. Indoor ball gives you that chance to do both.
And not only that, if I can add to the waggle, is also the stutter step at the line so that the defender, you're trying to throw the defender off at least for a couple of steps, right?
Yes.
And that's the part...
Try to use the advantage on both ways.
Yep, and that's the part that's the hardest to... It's timing, isn't it?
Yeah, the timing to that, no, it's not going too fast, not going too slow. Still, and also, while you're doing that, trying to set your defender up or offensive guy up or your route up to catch the ball or to make a play on defense.
Right.
And you
getting
learn
him
that
leaning
in an indoor game once you go outside.
And getting him to lean the wrong way.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the idea is, for those of you that are hockey fans, it's like stick handling, but with your legs.
Exactly.
Right? So the idea is you're trying to deke the guy using your legs, making him go a direction that gives you a step or two, you know, advantage over him. That is the main reason in football. This is the worst thing somebody can say to you as a football player. I'm going to test it on you. Stokes, you lost a couple of
okay.
steps. That's the worst thing you can say to a football player.
That is one of the worst things you can say to a football player.
Yeah, and the waggle is the way you use your speed to your advantage, and
use your
as a defender.
And a lot of things with the waggle is I play with a lot of slow guys who are one of the best receivers I've ever seen, but they're really slow, but they use the waggle to their advantage because of how slow they are, but they're very quick and they're very smart. So if you know what you're doing in the waggle, I mean, it can work both ways for speed guys and for slow guys.
Yep, because the waggle is the way you wiggle away from the defense.
Yeah.
So basically, so the waggle is an important tool. It's, you know, like you said, and it's so true, because even in other sports, you know, they refer to people as being tricky fast or sneaky fast, or they're not fast. But there's something about the way they use the speed that they have that makes them undefendable. And it's a great asset to have that kind of smarts that you're referring to. So in the, so that's an advantage. You get to learn about the waggle in indoor football. While it is a compact game, it's still full of speed, especially because of that. Because now a step can mean a lot, can't it?
Oh, it can mean a lot. And for a touchdown or a pick or an interception or reception, one step means a lot.
Are you there still?
We lose him?
Oh, yeah, sorry. No, we're here.
No, don't apologize, Stokesy. Are you in a 717 area code?
Yes, I'm in Pennsylvania.
You called me with a phone, right?
Yes.
You know what I'm going to do? Can I call you back and get? I think I'll get a better signal if I call you. Let me have a chance trying to call you, okay?
Okay.
And I'll see if I can get a. Hang on. Don't hang up yet because I'm looking at your phone number and I'm gonna try and copy it and then we'll give you a call because the connection's not that great and maybe I can help by calling you.
Okay.
What the heck? Whoa! It didn't do it. The little bugger. Ha ha! You tricky son of a gun. Hang on. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Hey, Keith, if Frank loses you, come phone back in 5 minutes.
No, I won't lose him.
Just in case, man, you know. Technology, Frank, they're not synonymous.
Oh, please. I type with two fingers. Don't make fun of me any more than that.
Two fingers. Oh, wow.
I'm kidding. I type with three fingers.
Hey, Keith, this is Mike Townsend, man. Thanks for calling.
And right
show,
now, and right
no
now,
problem.
I got one finger specifically for Christopher right now. Okay, I'm gonna give
uh-oh
a try. Give you a call and see. So I got here, da 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 da. I'm making sure I got the right number. Yes, I got the right number. So yeah, we're all good. Okay, you can hang up now, and I'll give you a call back right now, and we'll see if we can get a better. Yeah, go ahead, and I'll see if I can get a better connection with you, bud. Yeah, okay. Okay, now we'll give it a try. Anyway, so Mike, tell us a little bit about this guy while we're calling him, and give us a background on him.
Well, Keith Stokes played for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and he was a starter as a wide receiver. He wore number 3, and actually Kevin Glenn was one of his quarterbacks.
No kidding.
Well, he started out in the league in 2002 with the Montreal Alouettes. Then he went over to the Bombers. He was with the Argos in 2006. Then he went back to the Bombers. Then he went over to the Manchester Wolves in the NFL Europe. Then he came back to the Eskimos, played with the Argos in 2008, and then went, I believe, indoor from 2009 on.
Yep.
Okay. So, hello? So, yeah, Keith, that might sound a little better. Give us a little test there. So, Keith, so the waggle, and then you have the speed of the game. What other assets are developed in indoor football that make you a better CFL player?
For as a receiver, it helps you catch the ball in tight spaces because, I mean, you have the closed wall, the defenders are close. I mean, you're going to get used to catching the ball with a defender close on your back. You're never going to be wide open. And very rare in an indoor ball you'll be wide open catching the ball with not a defender on your back.
So a lot of those –
it helps you there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm just saying, as far as a receiver-wise on the offensive side, it helps you there. I mean,
and those circus catches that we see in games outdoors, you get to practice those. Those ones where the receiver catches a pass that misses the defender's hands by mere, tenth of an inch, and he's in there and gets a hold of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in indoor ball, you see that all the time. That's almost at least 4 or 5 times a game you're going to see that because you have the walls there as well. You can't be afraid of catching balls or something there because that wall never loses.
No kidding. Ask a hockey player. They'll tell you. They'll tell you.
Hey, Keith, this is Mike, man, the guy that sent you the inbox. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
That's good. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you, I came to the very first York Widows game, and you probably don't remember. You was out there practicing before the game, and I said, hey, Stokes, you was my favorite receiver when you played for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
I do remember. Yeah, I was like, Winnipeg? Who the hell knows about York and Winnipeg?
Okay, you remember. Yeah, I came to like three of the York Capital games, man, because I fell in love with the AIF, man, just coming to the game and see how the fans took hold to the York Capitals, man. I mean, it's a nice arena. I mean, and the fans there, they really backed you guys the whole season, man. And I believe that y'all got something good in York for years to come.
I think they do. I mean, one, the arena game is very fan-friendly because you're literally on top of the game. You feel like you're part of the game in the arena game because you're so close. I mean, York, I mean, they grew to the football, and they're starting to like it there. I think they'd be all right out there.
Mm-hmm. Are you playing this year?
I am, but I don't know where I'm going to play at yet. I mean, I'm going to – I don't know what I'm going to do yet, to be honest with you. I'm in the middle of – I'm in that transition mode, player, coach. So I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I have opportunities to do both.
Okay. Well, I got one more question, and I know the guys probably have one. With the CFL having the expansion draft this year, and Kevin Glenn went first to the Iowa Redblacks, tell us, how was your experience with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers playing with Kevin Glenn?
Oh, KZ's my man. with him, I mean, I think it was a great pick. Kevin's a great leader. He knows the game. And one, I mean, he's seen almost anything. I mean, he's seen, he's been to Grey Cups. He's seen close games. He's lost close ones, won close ones. I mean, he's a guy, you know, the young guys could look up to and learn from. And in that franchise in Ottawa, you know, when I first came to the league, Ottawa had a team. And those fans loved football there. So, I mean, it's good for them to have a familiar face to be their first pick and know that they're going to get quality football over there. It's not going to be trash. You got quality football and quality players and quality coaches, because some of the coaches that I played with and played under, so I know they're going to get good football over there.
Okay.
Bill, you got a question for him?
I think, Christopher, you said Manchester, that was Manchester, New Hampshire, right? Not Manchester, England.
Oh, it wasn't Manchester, New Hampshire I played for, the Manchester Wolves.
That's right. I know they don't have they don't have a team out there in the United Kingdom. Mind you, you could play at Old Trafford or Etihad Stadium.
So no, that was NFL Europe. That was NFL Europe, right?
Yeah.
But actually, which no one knows about, there is American Football League in Europe. Not NFL Europe. There is another league in Europe that has American football, and it's kind of big out there. But if you're only in those little cities, that little city only knows about the American football there, and they're trying to grow it big and bring some of those guys to the U.S., or actually some of those guys go to Canada and play and come back to their towns, and whether it be in Paris or in Italy, even in London. I think the team was called the London Blitz, if I'm not mistaken. They're an American football team that plays American football. They travel around Europe and play, and they have leagues over there with great football talent.
We had a linebacker last year he was an American linebacker who went from Oregon, I think Oregon Ducks, to he played in Serbia, American football, and he was the Serbian player of the year in Belgrade, and he signed with the Argonauts last year.
They have a league in India, American football.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Football's being played all over the world. The reason we don't hear about it here in North America is that if it isn't North American, if it doesn't originate from, let's say, the U.S., you won't hear about it here because, quite frankly, it's because it has nothing to do with here other than the players. It's like here in Canada, we watch every year the Spengler Cup. And the Spengler Cup is a European hockey league that's full of Canadians. So much so that they have a tournament and they have the Canadians playing against the rest of the countries in the Spengler Cup. So, you know, we hear about it only because we love hockey so much and Canadians are playing there. But there are a lot of teams and a lot of leagues in Europe that play football. You know, we just don't realize it because, you know, they're not promoted here. In a way, almost the same as the CFL is treated in North America because of the giantness of, if that's a word, of the NFL.
There's a great book, and it's an easy read. If you ever get a chance to read it, it's a John Grisham book. I don't know. He's a best-selling author who wrote a whole bunch of books like The Firm, but it's called Playing for Pizza. And the key person in the book was playing, he's an American playing football in Italy just for pizza. That's all they got was like pizza. He was like the one import they were allowed on the NFL type team over there, and he was literally playing for pizza.
But the pizza's real good in Italy.
Oh, it's excellent.
Oh, it's
the first chapter of the book, he starts out as an Argonaut, and he throws four interceptions in the Grey Cup game, and he gets cut from the team before the end of the game. But it's a John Grisham book. And if you get a chance to pick it up, it's called Playing for Pizza. It's a really light read, but it's a ball. I was telling Barker about it last year, and I don't think Barker reads books, but if you get a chance to pick it up, you'll find it hilarious.
Yeah, I don't think Barker's a people person, actually. See, yeah. All right. No, no. That sounds like a great book. I'm just having fun. You know, it is played a lot around the world, and in some places, players, you know, they love the game so much. Mr. Stokes, are you one of those guys that just can't get rid of the bug? Football's in your blood, and you need to exercise it in some capacity. I noticed you said you weren't sure how you were going to. It just doesn't sound like there's any doubt that you're going to somehow, you know, exorcise that demon that is football in your system.
I mean, it is. It's in my system. I mean, I coach high school football right now in Pennsylvania where I'm at. I mean, football is, I don't want to say it is me, but it's a part of me. It is never going to stop.
You know, we talk about here about football not being more, especially in America. It is an opportunity for men that, well, young men, I guess, children, you know, teenagers, young adults, an opportunity to rise above what might be their, you know, a lot of players come out of places where it's about dying, you know, in a way that's just horrible, or strapping on some football gear to save your life. Football really is a lifesaver in the United States, isn't it? So many ways for so many.
Yeah. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I mean, that's sports in general. I mean, you can use sports, you can use education. I mean, there's trouble where anybody lives, whether it's in a rich neighborhood, a bad neighborhood, or even a middle-class neighborhood. There's going to be troubles everywhere. But, I mean, if you find whatever it may be, whether it's sports or, I mean, education or something, get you out of that situation. I mean, by all means, you know, full force, put your effort into it and get out of it.
Yeah, yeah. By,
or you can
you
tell
know,
someone
what
else. Yeah.
All I was trying to say is that there's lots of options in life. And for a lot of people, they can't take advantage of some options because of whatever reason. It's not important why. But then football
yeah.
comes into the picture, and it helps teach young men about unity, about team, you know, about being part of a team, less about being about them, about being about others, and realizing that you can be a small part of a bigger thing, which is a great lesson for people in general, not just, you know, not just football players.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I like football, because it's not like any other sport. One, all 11 have to play together for you guys to be successful. Everyone has to do their part for something to work. It's not like basketball, one person is dribbling through five people and going up and score. Or wrestling where you're one-on-one. Or baseball, if you got a good pitcher, the outfielder never sees the ball. For that running back to make a touchdown, that line has to block. The quarterback got to hand the ball off. Receiver's got to block. And the running back has to run and see the right hole. Or the player never works. He just can't get the ball and just run.
Well, yeah, we have that debate here with some running backs that sometimes people get too carried away with the fact that they look so good and forget that somebody's setting up the situation to help them look so good. There's no doubt that running backs are great players, you know, and that they have a lot of ability and they deserve the adulation that they get. But sometimes people forget
yeah.
how much work is done to set them up so they can do their thing.
Well, as one coach told me, I was playing running back before, he told a lineman, he said, listen, your glory is not being heard. If someone says your name and you're an offensive lineman, that's a problem. That means you didn't make that block or you let somebody go back there and make that tackle hurt this running back. The running back's getting all the glory, you're getting all the glory, but you're the one not being heard. So that's the best thing a lineman should ever hear.
No news is good news.
There it is.
There you go. There it is.
There it is.
Okay, so basically, as a what helped you decide what position you were going to play? Was it your ability? Was it a coach? Were you able to decide for yourself?
Somewhat. I mean, somewhat. I mean, you can decide for yourself depending on your size and your, how fast you are, how slow you are, if you can catch or run. I mean, me personally. I mean, I could almost play anywhere in a skill position-wise because I was just, I don't know, I pay attention. I was a smarter player. Like, I just couldn't play one position. I knew at my size I would have to be smarter than most because I'm not 6'2", 200 pounds. And I don't run a 4.3. But the more you can do, the more you play.
Yeah, you know, I guess what you're talking about is you have a toolbox, and that toolbox points in a certain direction in as far as
exactly
how useful your assets are, whatever your assets are, in your whether it be your personality, your thinking process, your size, your speed, all that wonderful stuff. But still, Keith, there are a lot of guys in this world that have a full toolbox that just don't know how to use it. As a coach, is that frustrating for you when you see a guy with all the tools and it's just there's something missing and you feel like it's something that's all about them figuring it out? And how frustrating is it when guys don't figure it out as fast as you'd like them to?
Oh, so frustrating. It is almost, it boggles my mind how they can figure out other things but not just this one little simple thing. But, I mean, the thing is, whenever it clicks, and eventually it clicks. I mean, the sky is the limit for whoever that person may be, but it does, especially as a coach, it's so frustrating when you can see how talented this kid could be if he just does one or two things. But, I mean, eventually it's like being a parent. And you got to, you do the right things and treat them the right way, and hopefully it go the right way. I mean, I don't care how you raise your kid in boarding school or whatever. I mean, he can find trouble anywhere. But you pray and hope you raise them the right way or they did the right thing where they can figure that out on their own. Because that's the business. You're going to have to figure it out on their own.
You know, that's where, you know, where coaches are told and we understand the biggest asset management can have, whether it be the coach, an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, special teams, quarterbacks coach, it does not matter. The one word that keeps being heard and the one word that carries the day for coaches is communication. And some people don't understand that it's not just about talking. It's about talking so that you make the connection with the other guy. The guy that needs to hear what you're telling them. Isn't that the main reason why the biggest challenge for you as a coach that makes you love being a coach, where it really is a challenge, the communication skills, really, you know, it's a whole different tool set.
Oh, it's so different. I mean, one guy you can scream at and he gets it. You scream at another guy and he'll shut down. So you got to figure a way to talk to this guy and tell him the same thing without screaming to him. You might have to tell another player to tell him this to get through him because he doesn't want to listen to you because he's tired of you screaming or yelling. But if you tell another player, say, hey, tell John Smith he has to run this route or this will be open. He'll tell him and it'll work for him. That's the challenge coaches have, to figure out each player because they're all different.
I always used to kill myself laughing, and I'd be out on the field, whether it was hockey when I was a reporter and covering sports. I used to see a coach treat one guy differently than another. And the way you could tell a new reporter was a rookie or he was green behind the ears was he would go, how come he treats that guy differently? You know, if he would treat that guy like that other guy, it'd all be fine. And I'd kill myself laughing because I go, you really don't understand. Some guys need to be kicked in the ass, and some guys need to be patted on the back. And some guys just need to be told and left alone. And there's so many different ways to get the message across. The biggest trick with being a coach is to know which one you got to kick, which one you got to pat, and which one you just got to tell and leave alone. It's so hard. It's not easy. It's what makes being a coach so difficult and what makes a coach so valuable and why, you know, coaches now, especially in the NFL, I think in the CFL they get paid pretty well too. Actually, probably get paid better in comparison to the players in the NFL, in the CFL. You know, they make good money now. There was a time when coaches made very little, but we're beginning to understand how important coaches are in taking players, young, old, older, you know, and making a team out of them because it takes so many different tools to get the best out of a team. It isn't, you know, it isn't Boy Scouts, boy. It's not Boy Scouts. Politically correct doesn't work.
It doesn't. it doesn't work. And I mean, sometimes you have to have, I mean, the right coach for the right team. I mean, every coach can't work with every team.
No, not at all. And
that's why I think so many coaches are bouncing around, because they don't fit with whatever team is there, and they have to have time to adjust, get their players in there who can be yelled at or screamed at or coddled or however that coach does. The right players to fit with him.
Because everybody has – yeah, and everybody has – it's amazing, isn't it? You know, players have certain go-to moves. Coaches have certain go-to moves. You know, you get a team decides they're going to try – and you guys can – you know, I'm not a football X's and O's guy, so I won't even pretend to be. But I'll try to make my point not being one. And that is, you get a guy who likes X's and O's, and then the team turns into a – I guess a free-thinking kind of team. Now you need a free-thinking kind of coach. And teams are changing their theory, because if something doesn't work, you know, you can't change the whole team. So you change a few things, and you hope that the team goes along with that change, because you can't change them all at once. You can't bring a coach in and expect that coach to take the same team with the same plan and make it work. You're going to have to let the coach make some decisions, whether it be in his backup coaches or even some key players that play in a way that, you know, that they can work with what he likes. I think that's the best thing that happened with a Canadian coach, Tressman, who went to Chicago. He went there for one reason and one reason alone. They had a quarterback that they believed in that just wasn't being successful, and Tressman's reputation of working with quarterbacks, young ones, and teaching them is what got him to Chicago, and the plan seems to be working. To me, that's the strangest thing, you know, the obvious, but it really worked for Chicago. And coaches can work with certain kind of players that maybe can't be worked with by other coaches.
Did you see what he did today?
What did he do today?
He signed Chris Williams out of the New Orleans Saints.
Really?
I guess Tressman got tired of the tie cats burning him in Montreal all the time, and he figured he better put this man on his team. So, yeah, Mark Tressman signed him today.
No kidding.
So, oh, well, and you know what that does? That Devin Hester was fumbling the ball last week.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, in the NFL, you got a budget. You know, you can eliminate mistakes and not worry about the money. There's a slush fund. There's an amount of money that a team can throw away because they've got money. It's not like the CFL. CFL has to, you know, live with a decision a little longer than the NFL, even though they can get rid of guys, you know, and not pay them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And you know what, Frank? And this goes back to what y'all said about Tressman, how he gets the best out of his quarterbacks. Now, and I don't know if y'all guys watch the Chicago Bears, but think about when Jay Cutler went down, think about how Josh McCown played in Jay Cutler's absence. This the best I've seen that guy play in his career. And he's going to be a free agent this year. And they like, we're going to have to re-sign him, and we're going to have to re-sign Jay Cutler. So they have a backup now that they're getting the best out of, that he really hasn't played like that in his career. And then I think this playing all comes down to Mark Tressman, where he's been coaching these quarterbacks.
And don't make the mistake of thinking, if I can add this as well, how and Stokesy, you can vouch for this or not, but you know, when Tressman handles quarterbacks and does a good job handling them and helps them be the best they can be, those quarterbacks aren't in a hurry to move.
No.
They'll hang around. Right,
I've had guys that I've played against Tressman, and all I've heard was great things from him. From the players that have been there, they love him. The players love him, love the way he coaches, love the way he acts, the way he treats the players. I mean, he's obviously doing something right. Whatever it is, wherever he's been, they always love him.
And Stokesy, it isn't just about coaching.
They didn't like him.
No, and it isn't just about coaching. Right. We forget that sometimes. You know, and I think those coaches...
You have some of the best coaches who are some of the worst people.
They don't last long, though.
They're great at what they're doing, yeah.
They don't last long, though. I really... I really believe the era of the dictators is disappearing in sports. And I'm going to say this in front of some guys that played before. And I apologize to anybody who's listening to this right now, but I got to be honest with you. Athletes today, professional athletes, get paid so much money. There is so much invested in players. Coaches got to figure out a way to be the good guy as far as the players are concerned, because quite frankly, there is way too much money invested in players for coaches to be the old, riot act reading guys. You know, I've seen it in hockey more than football, because I do have a little more experience when it comes to hockey. But in football, I believe it's the same thing, where the dictators are becoming less and less a part of the program. You're getting more guys like Trestman who speak to the players in a respectful manner, explains to them that this is what he needs to have done. If you don't do this, then I will go a different way. But he's not going to go telling all the reporters. He's not going to be telling all, every writer around, this guy's a piece of crap, and if he doesn't do what I say, he's gone. He's going to keep it very quiet, keep it under his hat. That's the new kind of coaching style that's bigger now because of the contracts that players are signing. We're seeing 20-year contracts. We're seeing 15-year contracts. When I was a kid, a player was lucky to get a 2-year contract, a 3-year contract. We're talking now 15-year contracts. That's a big investment in a player for a team.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I guess having them contracts like that is just showing that they got to have some type of faith in that player to give him that type of contract.
And then the coach has to go in line.
Yep. Yeah, but those multi-year contracts are the biggest evil out there right now. I mean, prime example is looking at the Vancouver Canucks stuck with Roberto Luongo for 10 years.
Well, he's been pretty good lately.
I don't know. I don't watch it. It's hockey. It's boring.
You brought it up.
Well, if you were in Canada, you have no choice.
There you go.
You're in Canada, yeah. When I lived out there, I became a hockey fan.
Hey,
I mean, I'm out in Canada for all those years, and
I
knew it,
football.
Yeah.
Christopher lives in Vancouver.
And before I knew it, I was watching the junior hockey. I'm watching junior hockey tournaments, and I can tell you, Kelly Price, I think his name, the Price goalie for Montreal.
Corey Price.
I was like, what am I doing? Hey, he's
Gary
hockey.
Price.
I don't know. He was the name being thrown around, something Price. He was a great goalie. He was a younger goalie who took the old guy goalie out of there in Montreal. I'd have never known if I stayed in the States, because I never watched hockey.
Well, there you go. Well, you know, hockey's
You're
a
right.
great sport, but this isn't where we talk about hockey. We talk football all year here.
I'm with you.
That's what we talk about. We talk about football here. I'm a hockey fan. I love the game of hockey, but I'd rather talk about football. There's lots of people who are willing to talk about hockey. There's lots of shows that talk about hockey. There aren't enough that want to talk about football, so I go where I'm needed, and I'm needed here. And what we do here is we talk football all year round. We talk CFL football. This is my first anniversary, actually, this week. For a year now, I've been doing it straight, three nights a week. We used to do it 5 nights a week, if you can believe it, in the off season. There's always something to talk about. Football fans in Canada don't have many places to talk about it, so here you go.
Wow, well, congratulations.
Oh, our
yes,
pleasure.
Sir. Congratulations.
And then, of course, Christopher's here, Mike's here. Bill's with us right now. I will say he is a football connoisseur. He goes wherever the football is played with the pinky extended. Yeah, that would be Bill Howe's place. And
well said, Frank. Thank you.
I just thought I'd mention that. And then we got Rob.
And we follow the round football as well in Europe.
There you go. And then we've got Rob J. Emery, who you know how we count first downs. Rob counts bottles of beer. And today he counted 24 for us. And we're really happy because... Are you there still, Rob, or... Oh, I think
I don't know. Is he still there?
I think he passed out. I'm not sure. He might have counted too many beers.
There's no way. He's been quiet for way too long. He's not there.
Well, his phone is awake. He might not be. There's a phone line, but no, never mind. No tone.
Hey, Frank.
No dial tone.
Hey, Frank.
Yes.
Speaking of hockey, about a month ago, I took my 12-year-old son, Liam, to Winnipeg to see the new stadium.
Right.
Yeah, the Argos were playing out there, and I think we talked about this, but we had a ball. Anyway, on the way back, we tagged along with a team, and we flew back from Winnipeg that night, and it was great. We were sitting in TGIF bar at the airport with 45 of the Argos and the coaching staff, and the coaching staff all had the bar seats right in front of the TVs.
Mm-hmm.
And the players were all behind, and we more or less took the whole bar, the bar over, and Saskatchewan was playing, I think, BC. So the guys were all hooting and howling at the TV set, and some poor local kid walked into the bar, and he said, "Do you mind if I turn the channel to hockey?" And he asked Milanovic and Chris Jones, and they didn't even have to say no. Just the look on their face, he just kind of crawled away. You know, 45 professional football players. He said, do you mind if we turn the TV to hockey? I just couldn't believe the guy.
Unbelievable, the audacity. And
yeah.
You do notice, uh-huh. You do know I have a buzzer connected to Chris's seat that when he mentioned hockey, I pushed the button. He got a little of an electrical shock to his butt.
Nah.
Not buying that one, huh? Yeah,
and
no,
Chris,
you know what?
Chris Jones is now the head coach of Edmonton.
I am the least hockey fan in Canada, okay?
Yeah.
I am the absolute least hockey fan in Canada. Don't worry about it.
Right.
No, I get that. That's why I'm teasing you about that. We all know that you don't like hockey, mainly because you told us you don't like hockey, because it's true.
Yeah.
I got lots
of hockey memorabilia, though. There's a lot of stuff in my office right now up in the wall here. Most of it's all Boston Bruins stuff.
Oh, God, I hate you.
Yeah.
Why?
Liam's favorite hockey team is Boston Bruins.
Oh, God, I hate Liam, too, now.
I'm sorry to hear that. My cousin used to play for Boston Bruins, so I have to be their fan.
Who, Chris Jones?
No, it's this guy that nobody really ever heard of him. He played way
Keith
back
Jones?
In the late 60s, early 70s. No, his name was Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
He's your cousin?
Yeah.
I don't think we heard of him.
Hang on a second. He's your cousin and you hate hockey?
Yeah.
Do you realize how stupid that is?
I don't like hockey.
How can you hate hockey when your cousin is Bobby Orr? Now, Mr. Stokes.
Yeah.
My cousin was a coach in the NFL. And His name, he had an Italian name, and they name a trophy after him. You know who
somebody.
I'm talking about? Yeah. And I hate the NFL. You know how stupid that sounds?
Yeah.
I hate the NFL. My cousin is the biggest name in football in the NFL, and I hate NFL football. No, that's amazing, Chris. I worked for the owner of the Ottawa Senators. And Bobby Orr was in. And Bobby Orr personally brought the owner of the Senators in the building that we worked at. I was the facilities manager at the building. And he brought in a jersey, a real jersey with his signature that he actually, I think, wore or something. And he gave it to the owner of the Ottawa Senators, right? And I'm telling you, if I would have had that shirt, if I would have touched that shirt, I probably would have been a Boston fan. And here he is, family, and you don't like hockey.
It's got nothing to do with hockey.
Can I ask you a question? You make wine, right?
Sure.
You don't like your wine, do you?
Yeah, no, I do.
Okay, good. At least we're good. At least we're good there. I was really starting to get worried.
I don't drink.
There it is.
You make wine, but you don't drink?
No, that's correct.
Oh, wow.
And his cousin is Bob Orr, and he doesn't like hockey.
Okay, hang on. Let me qualify this, okay? I've been a winemaker for 19 years. I have done my share of drinking. 5 years ago, my son turned 19 years old, and I told him that I don't care where you are, what time it is, I will come and get you. You phone me. I don't want you driving, and I don't want you in a car with a drunk.
Good for you.
I don't care where you are. You phone me. I cannot make that commitment to my son if I'm at home drunk. So I stop.
You're right.
Correct.
Either that or you do what I do and have a sober wife.
That's not possible.
Yeah.
Somebody has to taste the wine to make sure it's right.
There you go. You got that right. He's Stokesy. Mike and Stokesy, you guys, you'll like this, Bill. The other day, we're doing our show, and we're down to about 15 minutes left in the program. All of a sudden, Christopher says, there's a naked woman in here. I got to go. And he said goodbye.
That's not what I said.
Okay, you correct me.
I said a naked woman just walked in my office and asked me if I wanted to go in the hot tub.
And then the phone went click.
Exactly.
See, I wouldn't even have said anything. I would have just hung up. I wouldn't have explained anything.
You just made you guys jealous. This was great.
Well, it worked. It worked. I was jealous. Until my wife came in naked and said, honey, do you want to do some dishes? We don't have a hot tub.
And how'd that work?
We did dishes. She wasn't kidding. Naked, though.
Right.
At my age, you don't want to see me naked.
Right. I want to ask Keith a question real quick that I just thought about, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Okay, hey, Keith, this is Mike again. I'm going back to your Winnipeg days, man, and back then I was a big Winnipeg Blue Bomber fan because my hometown boy Kevin Glenn played for the team. I'd like to know, when you been on the team, how was it playing with Milt Stegall and Charles Roberts, man? Because I used to love Charles Roberts, man, when he get that ball and he get the cutting and grooving. I mean, he was a little running back, but that guy was hard to take down.
Two of the great players I played with, had the pleasure of playing with, total opposite guys. Total opposite guys. But great, great. Man, I learned a lot playing from Milt, watching Milt. It was unbelievable, like the work ethic this guy has. And you wonder why he played so long and was so great for so long. I mean, this guy was unbelievable. And I mean, some of the stuff that Sweet Chuck used to do, Charles was, you sit back and watch. I mean, even playing, you were just stopping. You're like, whoa. You couldn't even get a block because you'd be watching him too much.
And I mean, he used to get that ball, man. And he get that second burner. He was gone. You couldn't catch him. And I mean, I used to sit back and wait till the Winnipeg Blue Bombers come on. Whatever I was doing, I was watching Winnipeg. And I mean, y'all was my favorite team back in the day, man. And then when Kevin Glenn got traded, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to be a Hamilton Tiger fan now.
So true.
It's like, I mean, those were good days in Winnipeg. I had a great time out there.
Now, Winnipeg's
one of my
gone,
favorite cities to play in.
Keith, the team's in a little bit of trouble now. What would you recommend? Have you had a chance to follow Winnipeg recently?
I watch them all the time. I mean, I watch CFL football all the time in the States, on online. Anytime I can watch it, and I follow them. They got O'Shea over there now. He'll stay over there.
And what do you think? Do you think they're going about it the right way? Because now, I'm not a connoisseur of football like many, but I do get the impression that they're upper management, middle management, and the coach, head coach, they're all kind of new to it. Do you think the fans are going to have to be a little more patient than normal because they don't have a lot of experienced leadership there?
No, I don't think so. I mean, O'Shea was a great leader when he played. He was a hard-nosed guy when he played, and he was very smart. And he's going to put smart, hard-nosed guys that want to play the game and love the game around him to help the team and win. And that city of Winnipeg, I mean, they love football. So, I mean, win, lose, or draw, they're going to be there. And they're going to support them. I mean, whether it's good or bad, they're going to be in them stands screaming and yelling. I think they're going about it the right way. I think they'll be all right.
Because Winnipeg really deserves a bit of a break. They, you know, it's amazing how quickly they fell apart after 2009, you know, your last year up here. They went to the Grey Cup.
I know.
In 11.
Oh, 11?
11, they went to the Grey Cup, yep.
Yeah. BC beat them.
It's even worse than I thought.
It's 26 years, isn't it?
I mean, it's been a while since they won it. Wow.
They've had some tough breaks.
24 years. It was 1990, if I remember correctly. It was 1990 that Winnipeg won it last.
In an 8-team league, that kind of hurts, doesn't it?
Ouch.
Well, now a 9-team league.
I mean, yes.
It was a 9-team league when they won it last.
Yep.
Yeah. Won a turnover that happened so much and so easily. It's not like... like the NFL, like the turnover in the CFL is crazy because, I mean, you know, one year this guy's playing in Winnipeg and next year that guy's going to be playing, you know, in Toronto or Edmonton or Saskatchewan. Turnover happens so fast.
Look at Arlen.
In 19 leagues, so that guy would be somewhere else. I mean, Bruce, I mean, look at him. He's
yeah,
played almost every team in the league.
Arlen.
I mean, look at Kevin Glenn. He's been a quarterback in almost everywhere except, you know, they had the –
well, they had to bring in a new team to move
Ricky
them somewhere.
Air. Yeah, hey.
It is a very go ahead, Mike.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Kevin Glenn started in Saskatchewan, if I'm not mistaken.
He did. He started in Saskatchewan.
Okay. Right, yep. I thought so.
So mm-hmm. it's difficult in the CFL. To hang on to players. But on the same token, you can build things up pretty quick. We talk about that on the show very often, that, you know, a team can turn things around. You look at what Hamilton did this year with Ken Austin. They brought in a good coach, a good GM, a good VP, the same guy. In the background, they've got some pretty good brains in there, you know, working on who should be coming to the team. And it really is an organizational thing. And I think, Keith, as a coach, you know it's very important that you have the players to work with. You know, it doesn't just happen because of a coach. It doesn't just happen because of a quarterback. It doesn't just happen because of a running back. And I feel like we've gone in a full circle here where you mentioned before that it takes a lot of players working together to win.
Yeah, well you just said it right there. You said in Hamilton, Danny Mac used to be in Hamilton as they were one of their scouts. Now he's in Winnipeg. I mean, he's going to bring whatever talent that he sees, and he's been doing a great job in Hamilton bringing guys in. He's going to bring them to Winnipeg now.
And he's not a guy, and he's not a guy that most fans understand make a difference in the game.
Oh, man. Scouts and GMs make a huge difference. I mean, just think, I mean, some of the best, I mean, and look in B.C., I mean, they always have great players over there, always. Oh.
Gee, I wonder why that is.
Roy Shavers.
Great guys in. Look, Roy, oh my goodness. Him and Jim Pop, to me, they bring in the best talent I've ever seen in the league, always. Always. I'm not knocking any other GMs that bring them in, but, I mean, other teams have great guys come in there. But Roy, he brings in guys. I don't know how he gets them, but he does a great job. Pop, he does a great job bringing guys into Montreal. I mean, the city helps a little bit too, but I mean, hey. I mean, but now, as you see, every team is bringing in a lot of good players. Every team now is bringing in a lot of players. I mean, Saskatchewan has guys now. Roy's out of there. Toronto brings in great guys. I mean, there's great players all over.
And isn't it true also, Keith, that as a coach, and I love this is the point I love the most, you know, like, when I'll give an example as Milanovic. Milanovic came to Toronto, and people think that, you know, he came, they won the Grey Cup because of him. I happen to believe the smartest move a coach makes, you know, people don't understand this, I think, for the most part, that coaches don't get picked only. They also pick where they're going to go. And half of their brilliance is picking the right situation to go into. Isn't that correct, Keith?
Of course. Do you think Chris Jones didn't have a chance to go other places to be head coach? I'm sure he had other chances to be head coach somewhere. He just didn't feel it was the right place at the right time. I mean, now he feels like it was his right time to go. So, I mean, he went. He's going to build a team around him, and I'm sure they'll be okay out there at Edmonton.
Does he seem
right
like
place, right
did,
time? Everything's timing.
Do you know him at all? Do you know Chris Jones at all?
Yes.
Any experience with him?
Yep. Played against him. Played with him.
Is he as tough a guy as I think he is from the outside? He's a no nonsense guy. He comes across
guy,
like a no nonsense guy.
Oh, he is no nonsense, but he's tough and he's passionate about what he does. He's not one of the. He loves football. He loves the game, and he wants guys in there that's gonna love the game, not just love yourself or whatever you want to do. Love this game and care about the game.
Does he have to temper his passion a little bit, do you think, in the position now that he's in?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, so
you don't,
so
you,
his...
don't change, you don't change who you are.
I got you.
Can't change who you are. I mean, you are who you are. I mean, he might can't say some of the things he could say before because he's a head coach now, but I mean, he can still.
But you see, there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean,
so, there's,
he can,
there's...
here's the thing. He could say it. He can say it in the locker room.
There you go.
But now he can say it in the locker room and maybe say it out, you know, somewhere else. But he can't say it on the radio because he's a head coach now. But he can
because
still
now,
say it.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. But you know what I mean, because
yeah.
he is a guy who's very secure in what he thinks. Probably one of the most secure guys in what he thinks that I've met. You know, he has a plan, and that's the plan. That's the way it's going to go.
Yeah.
He's not very flexible.
And it's been working for him for a long time.
Exactly.
And he's won great cups. So
he's
been doing something right.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm not asking you to say there's anything wrong with the guy, that's for sure. I'm just curious because, I'm just curious because here in Toronto, the experience we had with him recently is that he was very tough. And there were suspensions, strange suspensions, veteran players who were still valuable assets being released. And as an Argo fan, which I am, we've got Hamilton fans in here, BC fans, Saskatchewan fans, all kinds of fans right now in the group here. It bothered me a little bit that he seemed to be too strict. And I'm just wondering, as he's going to have to, I guess I was wondering if I was right about it, so I'll just have to say it because I think he has to soften his stance a little bit as a head coach because he has to be more, I don't want to use this term, I hate this term besides, he has to be more politically correct. You said it as, publicly saying stuff, he has to be a little more careful because he doesn't speak for a department, he speaks for the team now. So now he has to be careful, what he says. That's all I was getting at. And I hope that he does well in Edmonton. Don't get me wrong. I don't think there's a city that deserves a better football team than Edmonton right now. Between them and Winnipeg, So my hope is that he'll do a good job there. Christopher, you wanted to say something.
No, I just said Winnipeg. Edmonton and Winnipeg both deserve better than what they have.
Yeah, and we all hope that they get a better team. You know, the most important thing that we are and this is a peculiar to CFL football fans. You know, most CFL fans, other than Saskatchewan, wish good for the rest of the teams. You know, I don't think there's a league where people care about the league almost as much as they care about the independent teams. You know what I mean, Stokesy?
Yeah, I do.
You know, it's a little different. It's part of the reason why I love the CFL. Now, you gotta have the Saskatchewan Rough Riders because the exception makes the rule.
Well,
and because they're so popular, they're entitled to be as audacious as they are sometimes. They're a very popular team, and their fans deserve a lot of credit.
They're fairly aware that there are other teams in the league.
Well, they got to beat somebody, Christopher.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you got to think
they don't do that well either.
Saskatchewan, though, they don't have another professional team out there though. There's no hockey. There's not a pro hockey team out there.
No, right. They are. It's It's all about. It's all about Saskatchewan. It's all about. It's all about their CFL team. Definitely.
Yeah.
That's not
like Toronto.
I mean,
Hamilton's in the same boat. Hamilton's in the same boat. They don't have any other professional teams other than the AHL hockey team, which is, you know, minor league.
Not
minor sports.
Toronto is too close to Buffalo. It's too close to Toronto and too close to Buffalo.
Well, they, you know, you make a valid point there. I'm glad you said that because I never looked at it that way.
Frank?
Yeah, I mean, literally, you're under 2 hours. Yes.
Frank hasn't had a professional hockey team in years.
All right, Bill. Oh. Bill. Holy crap. Yeah, well, that's why Toronto would like an expansion team. Wait, hang on. They've had an expansion team for years. That's the other joke. Of course, everybody's heard this joke where the guy left the Maple Leaf ticket on his dashboard, came back, there were four there instead. You know,
I like that.
And then there's the one, about the Maple Leafs. You know, they're like the Titanic; they're great until they hit the ice.
Oh,
oh boy! But you know what? I'm gonna tell you guys something about. Great talking to you guys tonight. I mean, just let me know if you want me on any other time. I had a good time tonight, but I need to get out of here.
Oh yeah, hey, listen, always a pleasure, my man. And Keith, pleasure, and always nice to hear from an ex-Argo.
Keith, right, thanks so much for joining us.
All right,
Keith, thanks, man. I appreciate you coming on, bro.
Yeah, it's getting past your bedtime.
All right,
thanks, man.
All right, Keith Stokes, former Argo, former Winnipeg Blue Bomber. We're lucky to have him on, and it's always nice to talk to an ex-football player.
Former Alouette.
Yeah, former Alouette as well. He went around quite a few. See, if Ottawa would have came back sooner, his career probably would have lasted longer.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
FYI, Manchester Spartans.
Manchester Spartans. Is that the American team? They must play in a rugby team.
European. No. That's the European Football League, American football in Europe. Not to be confused with NFL Europe, but in American football, the Manchester Spartans have a team.
Okay.
They actually have a lot of teams around Europe. I actually posted some YouTube videos some months back on a couple of games that they have. Cause they actually have full-fledged games on YouTube that you can watch. And them guys over there, man, they're not no small fries. You actually have a lot of American players that's going over there playing in Europe. And the European teams actually come over to the States and over to Canada and have combines because they be having contracts left that they want to sign players.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know France has got a very strong American league as well in France.
Well, this is Europe, and they have 14 teams, and they include right across Italy, Belgium, Germany, Amsterdam, London, Manchester, Dusseldorf, Helsinki. There's 14 teams in the league.
Wow.
Yeah. And actually, Helsinki, I think it's the Helsinki 69ers, I think that's the name of them. They
Roosters.
Well, they actually have Helsinki has two teams. The Helsinki 69ers, I think that's the name of it. I'm actually a Facebook friend of theirs, and they actually be having games, and they post them online.
Hmm.
Yeah. And Frank, to any rate about Keith Stokes, when I went to three of the York games last year and watching that guy play, man, he hasn't lost a step. He hasn't lost a step, not one bit. I think maybe being a coach of a high school team and having more responsibilities is probably what keeping him away from the CFL when you have other responsibilities. But he played, and that guy has not lost a step, man. He was killing them guys last year.
Good long career as well. 10 years in the 10 years in pro. That's quite something.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's a long career.
Yeah. And when I went to the
it is long.
When I went to the game and I looked at the jersey, I said, Stokes. I said, that's Keith Stokes. I said, the former receiver for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So when I stood right there, because I actually had a seat against the wall right next to the field, and he was catching the ball right to me, I said, Stokes. He looked around. I said, man, you was my favorite receiver when you played for Winnipeg. And he looked. He was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
he's
man.
He probably scared him.
Probably so, man.
He's got a stalker.
no stalkers, man. But I have my favorite players that I do like, you know, in the CFL, you know. And then when I seen them play for the team, I was like, wow, that's Keith Stokes, you know. Wow, I didn't get a chance for him to sign that ball for you because they was already going to the locker room at the end of the game, you know.
Well, next time he'll know
Frank
you.
You're right. Yeah. Where's Frank? Is Frank still here?
We lost Frank.
I guess he must have put us on hold. Well, I'm about to do my daily shout-out.
I don't know
where
he went.
No, you don't.
Frank, say, I'm back now.
No, go ahead and do your shout-out. You're always welcome to do your shout-out.
Shout-out to Eb. Shout-out to Sid. Shout-out to my piece of South Carolina checking in. Shout-out to Germany. Shout-out to France. That's going to check in tonight. And, Frank, you know what? I want to give a special shout-out to you because without you, man, this wouldn't be possible for me, bro. So special shout-out to
welcome.
Frank Candy, Frank Live, baby.
Hey, that's what it's for. I told you this before,
yeah.
And I'll tell everybody again. The reason I did this, it sounds stupid, but I felt there was a need for a place for people who wanted to talk about Canadian football and football in general that relates to Canadians and, you know, everybody can talk about the NFL. Everybody can talk about hockey. Everybody can talk about basketball. There's lots of places. But there isn't enough for the CFL. And, you know, I'm just glad to be a part of this and find some other people that love the game. And, you know, that's why I'm still doing it. I mean, bear in mind, this is something I tried. And trust me, if it wasn't for people like you guys that are on with me right now and those that aren't on with us right now, you know, this would not have... you know, this would not still be going on. So I feel that there's a need out there and a desire for people to talk, CFL football. That's why we're here. And I appreciate the assistance.
Yeah.
And we just lost Christopher Jones. I bet you another naked lady came into his office.
I'm waiting for my naked lady to come in.
Yeah.
my turn's next.
you know, in the
well,
old days...
You would. It's going to be a long time before I get home. So when I get home, I'll see man when I get home. About that.
There you go. There you go.
Yes, sir.
We won't get Mike on the show that night.
Yeah, no. That won't be happening.
I'm sorry, Frank. I didn't mean to cut you off. I think our voices entwined with the connection. But what I was going to say was, did y'all see the article on G. Roy Simon?
Yes. Yes. He wants to stay.
Mm-hmm. He wants to stay. So I wonder, did he had a 2-year contract, didn't he, or was he a free agent this year?
Well, maybe it was a year and an option, and maybe the team has the
option. Okay.
For him to say
Superman,
it makes it sound like he's telling the team, go ahead, pick up the option. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. You know what? And with just say he lost his internet, he'd be back. But
yeah,
we already know that he's not the G. Roy of old. But and they used him sparingly during the season, but G. Roy actually came through for them in the Grey Cup.
Right.
You know, now if you can keep G. Roy the same way, use him sparingly during the season and then use him to the playoffs, man, what's going to stop them from going to another Grey Cup? Because Hamilton and actually the other teams in the playoffs didn't have no answer for G. Roy. They didn't have no answer for him.
I think the biggest problem with Saskatchewan right now that they got to deal with, in my opinion, because nobody's shown that this is true, and I find it unbelievable, to be honest with you. As far as their budget's concerned and as far as their cap is concerned, I truly believe that they went over and I truly believe they spent more money than most teams would be able to. And unfortunately, I don't know if they'll be able to do it 2 years in a row. But they are the richest team, so, you know, they probably can afford it. You know what I mean, Bill? Since it's just me and you now, Mike left, Rob Camry left, Chris left. Slowly but surely, there's going to be nobody left. Oh, okay, Chris is back. I mean, no, sorry, Mike is back.
Okay. Yeah,
I don't know, Mike, I don't know if you heard what I said. Well, Mike, what I was saying, was that an answer to your question with G-Roy, you know, there's money that has to be spent for G-Roy. Can G-Roy take a cut and pay, do you think? Because to keep him, they might have to ask him to do that. It was one thing to spend that much money when you have the Grey Cup at home. Now it's in B.C. The pressure to win is not as big as it was this past year. Now, there's always pressure for them to win, but there has to be, you know, the money has to be there. Do they have the money to do it? Well, some would suggest that they made a lot of money winning this Grey Cup. In the millions in just paraphernalia they sold after the Grey Cup.
Now, is there a mechanism, is there a mechanism for you to go over the cap and pay a penalty?
Yes.
So you can design that into your program.
If you want, I can give you the exact terminology. Oopsies. Let's see.
Hey, Frank, say, Chris, say, can you give him a call? He just sent you his number.
Oh, okay. Did he send me his number? Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I can always call him. That's the best way to go, man. Okay, I'll call him because I can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
Okay.
So I'm gonna put down his phone number here, and then I have to, believe it or not, you have to enter it a certain way. If you don't enter it a certain way, it doesn't work. So
Mike, how's that
anyway,
Sydney of yours?
I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
How's your Sydney, Mike?
Oh,
she's doing great, man. She's doing great. Am took a picture over the day with her BC Lions mini football that she was playing with today.
Awesome. Yep, I saw that.
Awesome.
Yeah, so she loves that football, man. Actually, yesterday, Am sent me a video, and she had pulled the pacifier out of her mouth, and she couldn't get it back in her mouth right. So she got mad and started slinging the pacifier because she couldn't get it back in her mouth. It was so funny.
Okay.
Yeah, man. That's my
baby
right there.
Hey, we got Chris back in. We got Christopher back on the show.
I'm back in.
Hey.
There you go.
Christopher.
I'm always willing to call you, Christopher. I'm always willing to call you because we get a better connection sometimes with the phone line. And if I call, it doesn't cost people a long-distance call if it's to their personal phone. Yeah, in regards to your question as far as the cap is concerned, the cap is $4.5 million or $4.4 million, in the final year of the contract. And if they go over, I'm looking for the formula. It really jumps. It's like I'm looking here to see if I can find it.
It's $1 per dollar that you're over the cap for the first 100,000, then it goes to $2 per dollar, then it goes to $3 per dollar plus
after 75,000, right?
Okay, after 75,
right?
and then you lose a draft pick.
Okay, so it must
so
be an optimum number you can do.
Hmm.
There must be an optimum number to go over the cap to kind of
not without penalty. Yeah. Soon as you
yeah,
go
to,
over
to get
the cap,
what you want, but if you've got $7 million more in merchandise sales than other teams.
Yeah.
Does it really matter?
No.
No. The big loss is you lose your first round draft pick, but who's the GM of Saskatchewan? I don't remember his name.
Doesn't matter.
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Holds no value to his draft picks. He throws them around like water. So to lose a draft pick for him is nothing. He doesn't care. He just bought the Grey Cup this year.
Yeah, he can buy Ricky Foley and give up a draft pick. I think that's a pretty good deal.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
But
the reason Bill mentioned him is because he's Canadian.
Right.
Yeah. So he can go out and get the best Canadian at an unusual position. which is a lot better than a first-round draft pick in the CIS draft, if you don't mind me jumping on your glory there, Bill.
Right, right. No, it's a good point, isn't it?
Yeah. They just don't care about the draft pick, so they went out and bought a Grey Cup. Good for them, you know? I mean,
they
played the rules, and they broke the rules, and they're going to get penalized for it, but they're prepared to take the penalty. To me, that's not good sportsmanship in any way, shape, or form, and we've gone down this road several times. You stay under the cap. That's a rule. And you go over, you pay
that's
a penalty.
But they have a soft cap. But you know what? That has to change. For example, not to bring hockey into it again, but at the end of the day, in hockey, they have what's called a hard cap. In other words, you can't go over. You're not allowed to go over.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go over. Whereas, you know, you have baseball doesn't have, you know, it has a cap, but the loosest cap of all. But they make a lot of money. The league transfers a lot of money from the teams like the Texas Rangers, the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox. They pay a lot of money into penalties. But, you know, that's why you have teams that seem to have a better chance to win. Hockey's the only sport, and it's ironic, really. All the money that's made in hockey is made in Canada, but it's the only sport where making money is a disadvantage. The only one. That's why I don't like hockey, because it punishes us in Canada because we love our game. Whereas in baseball, the best teams and the ones that are most supported are allowed to spend money and have an advantage based on their fan following, right?
That's not a good thing.
Of course it's not a good thing. You know, you're punishing the people who pay for the game. The NFL is the only league that does it in a way that gives everybody an opportunity to win. But because everyone's so rich, right? Because everyone makes so much money, the teams that do well are the ones that pay. And we heard Stokesy talk about it a little bit. The good scouts, the good GMs, the good coaches, the ones that earn a lot of money, that get paid a lot of money, because that isn't included in the cap, if I'm not mistaken. You know,
And
that's how the Leafs could get around the cap. You know, that's the only way they can get around the cap. For you Leaf fans out there who wonder how long it's going to take your team to win, well, here's how long it's going to take. It's going to take as long as you can get better than Nashville and stop paying them to have a better team than you.
Right. But, you know, I think the cap has changed the dynamics for the city of Toronto.
Totally.
Because we used to bring in some huge names, and it never translated into success at the Grey Cup, but boy, did it bring fans to the stadium.
Yeah, Rock Fishmill was amazing.
We could get 50,000 people easily to a 3-13 team.
Because
Toronto
of the name.
Toronto never hesitated to bring in the NFL guy. They never hesitated. When they brought in Ricky Williams, Ricky had the number one selling jersey in the CFL that year, and he wasn't even the top rusher. He broke his forearm.
Yeah,
he was out like four.
I mean, I remember when they signed Anthony Davis to a huge contract out of USC.
Yep.
They outbid the NFL for him, and they would get 50. They could get 25,000 to a practice. And now, I think, this is just my theory. This is, because I've seen the whole league change and I followed it along to the point now where, it may go against the Toronto dynamic to, stay within a cap. I'd love to see them blow the lid off the cap and spend $2 million more than they should. I know it's not right sportsmanship.
But they don't have, Bill, problem is they don't have the money to pay the initial contract, never mind the penalty.
But I'd love to get the seats in the stands, right?
I hear you.
Because it was wild times in those days.
Do you think it was so then what you're saying is, and this is not a knock on any other city in the CFL, but the big city of Toronto needs big names. Is that what we're saying?
Well, we were the bad boys. Everyone loved to kill us in their stadium. You know, the big bad boys from Toronto with an attitude came to town.
I think it should have big names. And
yeah.
I'm gonna go back to the years that Toronto before they won the Grey Cup. And Chris and I have always had this discussion when it came about. And I actually had this discussion with Milk Steagall on Twitter. I was telling Chris Jones when we had this conversation that when Terrell Owens was released from the NFL, Toronto should have went out and signed him. For the simple fact is, if you would have brought a Terrell Owens to Toronto, for one, he would have had the top-selling jersey.
Right.
For two, the fans would have came in and come in to see Terrell Owens play. And if he wanted to pay his contract, his jersey sale alone, you could have gave him $1 million contract.
Yeah. Well, how did
that's
LA
why
get...
I said, that's why I said they should have signed Terrell Owens. And it would have put fans in the stands, and it would have actually...
Yeah, so they could see the product, right? See the rest of the product.
But you shouldn't need to have that ridiculous marquee player to put people in the stands. And
this is Toronto, though, Chris.
I'm from Vancouver. Do you think we're much better out here right now? Okay, in the 84, 85, 86 season, we were averaging 59,000 people to a regular season game. 59,000, okay? We rocked the place. What happened from 83, 84, 85, 86 to now, where we're lucky we're throwing 29,000 people into the stands.
Right.
Okay? What happened? We had the Grizzlies came to town. What happened? We have MLS. What happened? We have, you know, not only NHL, we now have AHL, we have WHL. What else do we have? We have everything in Vancouver now. We didn't have that back then. Then it was the Lions and the Canucks.
But there's so much truth to that.
There's so much more to do in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And we can't draw the fans
to it. I don't buy it, Chris. You have to buy it. What I don't buy,
no
and again, you know, this is my opinion, is it, you get a different person to a TFC game, you get a different person to a Leaf game, we got 7 million people around here.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I
went to Saskatchewan where they got 179,000 people, and they had 50,000 in the stadium.
Yeah, but the people bus for 5 hours, 10 hours, 14 hours to get there. Here's the example. Why can't they do that here, Christopher?
Yeah. Christopher,
hang
I can't
on.
Let that one slide because that's what Bill's saying. Why can't
let
that
me,
pool of
let me
people...
Explain it. Let me explain it, and I will, okay?
Okay.
The kids in Saskatchewan are born with a football in their hand because that's what their parents do. That's what they do. That's what everybody does. They have green underwear. They have green everything, okay? You come into Vancouver, and the kids that play on the field are playing soccer. And when they're not playing soccer, they're playing hockey. Football is not even an option for these kids when they're growing up. How can you create fans when they're doing it till they're later? Now, Vancouver right now and has become over 50% immigrant city, okay? So these people are coming in from Asia. Now, they want to come in here and become a Canadian, and everybody knows that Canadians are hockey fans. Even Keith Stokes told me that tonight. He says, you're a Canadian, you got to be a hockey fan, okay? So they're going to go out there, and they're going to sell out the Canucks games every day because they don't know dick squat about hockey. But to be a Canadian, you have to be a hockey fan, and we got the money, so we might as well buy the tickets. Football is an American sport, and nobody likes Americans here. The imports that are moving into Vancouver are moving to Vancouver because they don't want to move to America. And I'm not dissing you, Mike, here, or anything like that. I'm just telling you what the facts are, is football is an American sport. I love to say it's a Canadian sport. The game was invented in Canada. I have no problems with that, but it's known as an American sport. It's American football. And the immigrants that are coming into Vancouver don't want to have anything to do with America. They're not going to go watch an American sport. They're going to want to be a Canadian. They're going to watch a Canadian sport. So right now you can take my 2.8 million people in Vancouver and cut off half of them that aren't even going to attempt to watch football.
okay? Then you've got the soccer fanatics that are coming out there. I mean, you've got Liam that just flew to UK to watch a soccer game.
Well, that's the only reason he did that was because the CFL season's over.
I understand that. Okay, I understand that. But he's a fan because you were. Okay.
No, I'm
you
a fan.
Are.
But
okay.
I make the argument that football is still number two in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan, and our league.
I disagree. Totally disagree.
Well,
there's
where
no
all
way
the
in hell that it's number
right?
two.
This is where the Toronto Maple Leafs come from, is Saskatchewan. But I'm saying that it's a cyclical sport. I think you're filling your stadium because it was a brand new stadium, and every time you build a brand new stadium, it's always filled. And I think it's cyclical, and I think we it goes in ebbs and flows. And I don't think that cycle's ended or it's going to end. And I don't believe the league is headed towards 9 25,000 seat stadiums. I think it needs to be tweaked. I think in Toronto you need, and I agree with you, Mike, you need star power. They should have brought in Tebow. They should have brought in Tebow to try him out. They should have said, to hell with the cap. I'm going to spend $2.5 million this year, and people are going to know these names. And, you know, I like how Oakland has got a distinctive personality.
A rebel personality?
People love to hate, right? You know. Wrestling does very well. UFC does very
well, that's why we have the riders. We all love to hate them.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I think Bill's right in this sense, and I'm going to support what Bill's saying in this way. I'm jumping in because you just mentioned about the Raiders. The new
right.
Raiders in the NFL are the Seattle Seahawks. They're the new team that has all the bad guys on their team. You know,
yes,
they've almost stolen the Raider pool of players. If there's a player who's in trouble with the law, the Raiders
yep.
got him. If a guy had
right.
problems with steroids, the Raiders got him. If they had a veteran quarterback that doesn't belong anywhere, they'd bring him in and prove that he's still a good quarterback. I think Seattle has taken over that that moniker. I think they've developed that reputation, and some people are concerned with some of the suspensions they're getting because they're so, you know, they're not the regular guys. And
right.
and that's making them popular. And their fans love it. They love the bad guy image.
Well, it's the same as the Philadelphia Flyers.
Look
at them.
Yeah.
And you know what that is too, Frank? They are winning.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But they're winning because they've captured the excitement of the fans. And the fans have helped them win.
Yeah. You really have to, Hamilton does a very nice job in defining. They're kind of the Steelers of Canada, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They bring in the lunch bucket players that relate to the people in town, and it's a very nice fit, and they're gonna do very well in that new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in Toronto we've lost our identity.
Well, Bill, would it be fair to say, guys? And being an Argo fan, okay, this is very selfish of me to suggest this, but I'm not saying it for selfish reasons. I'm saying it for
right.
the CFL's well-being. Is it maybe time that the CFL has to say this Toronto team, is a special project? I know Chris, that our buddy Manasseh, who's not here right now, who refers to money that was invested in Toronto to help make it a better franchise. But isn't a better franchise in Toronto better for the league, the CFL? We've got about a minute left. Real quick.
Of course it would be. It's the marquee team. It's our city. It's what Canada reflects about. I mean, it's the biggest city in Canada. It should have the best football team. And why the hell you guys don't, I don't know. Okay? And somebody
well, I
needs
think
to
it's
ask
because
it. And
we
I think
can't,
David
we can't run
taking
our
over that team is going to be what's going to save this team. And the whole thing is he's put a 5-year limit on his ownership of that team. So at
yep.
the end of 5 years, he is going to have that team back where it needs to be because it didn't take him 5 years to do it in BC.
Well, we've
you
only
know,
got
I
a
agree,
second
and,
left.
I
Go
agree,
ahead.
And Toronto needs some star power also. Bottom line.
When I was in the mid-60s when I was young, you know, the exhibition stadium was empty. They found a they found a showman named Leo Cahill who came to town, and he ignited the excitement of the city. He brought in rogues. He brought in all sorts of people, and he brought in stars, and we sold that place out for 15 years. And
okay,
so
we've
got
to go. I've got to leave it there, guys. Bill, I want
you
to call back. We'll call you back on Monday. We can continue this conversation on Monday. This is Candid Frank live again for another Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Wednesdays we have lacrosse, but I think next week we probably won't have lacrosse. We'll have football again, so we'll look forward to another full week of Canadian Football League talk and football in general. Bill Howe, thank you for joining us. As always, Mike Townsend, thank you, and Christopher Jones and Rob J. Emery and Keith Stokes, who joined us today, former CFL player. Guys, thanks for being a part of the program.
Candy Frank, baby. You heard it first.
Good night, guys.
Red Blacks.